Iman Rush Audio presents Khushu', Strengthening the Divine Connection, a lecture by Sheikh Yasser Burgess.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira, thumma amma ba'd. Yaqulu Rabbuna tabaraka wa ta'ala, ba'da a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Which means in the translation, certainly have the believers succeeded. They who are during their salah, humbly submissive. Now the question, have you ever asked yourself, what does it take you to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you ever wondered in your salah behind an imam who recites in Arabic, recites the Qur'an, when the time will come when I would be able to understand the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the need for translation? You know, the brother he mentioned, I lived in Bosnia for some time after the war was over. And then one time, I was praying Salatul Isha in the masjid. Our imam, he was local from that area. And subhanallah, he was hafiz of the Qur'an. He didn't know very much Arabic, but he knew some. And he was reciting from Surah, I believe it was maybe Surah Al-Baqarah that day. And he recited something that really touched me. I understood it because I speak the Arabic language. That's my native language. I'm originally from Palestine, actually. So, when he recited that part of the Surah, I unintentionally maybe just nodded my head as a submission to what he just recited. After I was done from Salatul Isha, the brother who was just sitting next to me, who happened to be an old man, a friend of mine also, and one of my students, whom I was trying to teach the Arabic language, was very hard for him to grab the language, but at least he could recite the Quran, alhamdulillah, in Arabic. Then he asked me a question, and that question was like a shock for me. He said, may I ask you a question? I said, go ahead. He said, did you understand what he have just recited? I said, what do you ask for? He said, well, I saw that, you know, you were nodding your head when he said something. I said, well, I guess, yes. Then he said, really? Did you really understand what he just recited? I said, well, I believe so, but I mean, sometimes I need a tafsir just to go deep in the meaning of the ayah. He said, no. Just what he have just said, did you understand that? I said, yes, I did. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And his answer or response to my, you know, answering him, was to cry. So he was crying. And subhanAllah, I felt sorry for him because I said, what did I do wrong? And then I asked the brother, I said, Akhi, is there something wrong? He said, no. It's just that when the time will come, I'm just waiting for that time to come, when I'll be in your position, at least understand what the imam is reciting in my salah. And that was a brother who was about 65 years old. He had the passion. He wanted to know the Arabic language. And he attended about 2 seminars that I taught there in that area. But subhanAllah, due to his age maybe, and maybe not being completely independent or fully given his attention to the Arabic language, he couldn't make it. At least, he could, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, recite the Qur'an freely in the Arabic language in perfect pronunciation and good tajweed. Again, as an Arab, personally, by birth, I think it's very, very scarce to me to think about this issue. Why? Because it's automatically when the imam recites, I know what he's talking about. And this brother, he had that great passion to the Qur'an. That had him to cry when he didn't know, he did not understand what the imam was reciting. And he wanted to know it. He wanted to understand what the imam was reciting. And what made me just at least, you know, think about that ayah, so I had to submit my head down for the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever wondered yourself? Have you ever asked yourself the question, when the time will come? When is that time that's going to come for you to understand the recitation of the imam? And do you have a hard time focusing on your salah? Because I know many people, they have that justification for, you know, wasting their time in the salah because they don't understand what the imam is reciting. Or maybe in Salat al-Taraweeh people, they go and prefer an imam who recites short surahs, who would finish his salah in about 20 minutes instead of maybe an hour and a half, Because they do not understand what the Imam is reciting. I know, if you don't have a hard time focusing on your salah, then alhamdulillah, you're in a good shape. But if not, and no, many people actually, they do not understand what the Imam is reciting, then you need to learn at least how to focus on your salah. We have a problem over here. And that problem is that how to focus on the second pillar of Islam. Do you know that your salah is the second pillar of Islam? Which means if you do not maintain your salah very well, how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that from you? It is very important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That I have not created al-jinn and mankind save to worship me. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the value of your salah? It's indeed the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the soul of the worship of Allah azza wa jal. Do you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Hadith al-Qudusi, that sacred hadith, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ That my servant will not draw himself nearer to me, approach me with anything more beloved to the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala more than al-farida, the obligatory part. Which is what? As-salah. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see most from us. Do you know that on Judgment Day, the first thing that you're going to be asked about before you cross the bridge would be your salah. فَإِن صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ سَائِرُ الْعَمَلِ If it was sound, everything else will go easy. And if it was not, then everything would go harder. That is the value of your salah. It is very, very important to focus on the quality of our salah. How much can we get from this salah? Does every musalli get the reward for his salah? Do you think that we get the full reward for our salah every time we pray behind an imam? Do we get 100% of our salah? Do you know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it depends on how much you focus on your salah, which means the quality of your salah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts. Not the quantity of the salah, the quality of your salah. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from them half of their salah, one third, one fourth, more or less, and some people they will get nothing. Why? Because they were not focusing on their salah. There was no khushu', no concentration in their salah. Our beloved ulama, they used to say, قَدْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي نَفْسِكَ كَقَدْرُ الصَّلَاةِ It means how much you appreciate this deen, it's actually as much as you appreciate this salah. How much you feel that this salah is important for you, that is how much you appreciate this faith, al-Islam. Being a Muslim, it's easy to say. You can say it can be a lip service. But to be a true believer, a true Muslim, you have to show that. How do you show that? By performing the salah. It was the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he gets into trouble, إِذَا حَزِبَهُ أَمْرُ If he was afflicted by something, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ He would hasten, he would rush. Where? For his salah. Remember September 11th? Just a few years ago. When this happened, and the Muslims were under test, a huge test, what did they do? Did they rush to their salah? No. They disappeared from the masajid. Why? Oh my God, we're going to be in troubles. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to seek that help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Even Allah azza wa jal, he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ What does that mean? You know, usually when you do something at home, or maybe at work, and you get exhausted, your colleague, maybe your wife, after you come out, you come back actually from the backyard or the front yard, she tells you, go and get some rest. When you're tired, people, they tell you, go and get some rest. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make da'wah, spending hours and hours outside, preaching, giving the da'wah to other people, to the mushrikeen, And sometimes, most of the time, he had hard time with them. What was the instruction of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for him? Allah Azzal told him, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ means when you're done. After you're done from the da'wah, he didn't say go and take some rest. Go and take a nap. قَالَ فَانْصَبْ which means what? Stand means in prayer and feel that fatigue of salah. Why? Raising your standard. You keep raising your standard one step at a time. Just like when you go and try, you know, to build muscles. People, when they go and build muscles, they carry actually the weight, maybe, for example, one round, 10 times. 1, 2, and they keep going on. When it comes to 7, and then 8, 9 becomes difficult. Then they go to 10. If they stop, it's over for them. But imagine that after they go 10, they will say, one more. And they get it. That one more for them is more beloved than the 10 times that they did. Why? Because it's taking them to a higher standard. So, when you raise your standard in your salah, you will enjoy the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's then learn together how to bring life to our salah. And I'm sure, inshallah, after this lecture, we will be able to recognize the problem. Means the problem in our salah. And I'm sure that we will feel the importance of khushu'. And inshallah, we will learn the techniques of gaining our khushu', the focus in our salah. And the best of all, inshallah, I hope that the best of all after this lecture, you will pray the best salah you have ever had in your life. Salat al-Isha. Just focus in your salah. I don't promise you, of course, it depends on how much you're going to get from this lecture. So it's up to you. It's up to you to judge your own salah after this lecture, insha'Allah ta'ala. What is the most important ingredient in your salah? Is it the quantity that you pray 100 rak'ah a day, 1,000 more or less? It's the quality. The quality of salah what really matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Alif Lam Mim. ذلك الكتاب. Indeed, this is the book. لا ريب فيه. There is no doubt. No doubt in this book. كتاب الله عز وجل. هدى للمتقين. Guidance. A book of guidance, al-muttaqeen, means those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. The attributes of those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. What do you expect to say? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count first? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Those who believe in al-ghayb, believe in al-ghayb, the unseen world, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ And immediately, said, establish the salah. The second quality of those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, after believing in al-ghayb, the unseen world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, establishing salah. What's the meaning of it? How do you establish your salah? That is the quality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about that, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ That indeed, the believers have succeeded. Those who have that khushu' in their salah. So establishing your salah means establishing that khushu' in that salah. What is the meaning of that khushu'? You can say it's to focus. Be focused in your salah. You know what you're doing. And I know that we have that same scenario maybe every day and every night. You come to the masjid, the moment you say, Allahu Akbar, the shaitan immediately, he says, did you lock your car? Or maybe, what time is it? And you start trying to sneak, you know, and see if you can look. And alhamdulillah, you have, you know, clocks over here and watches and everywhere. So you can just try to see if you can look at it. Or maybe again, when you start your salah, the shaitan is going to come to you and say, maybe you forgot your keys. So you started grabbing your pockets. Or if your cell phone is with you, The same thing with brother or sister. You start fixing your cap or maybe the hijab and so on. Basically, the shaitan is so smart. Because he knows the importance of your salah, he's going to steal that out from you. And I'm sure he does it. And you know that he does that every day and every night. And the best salah that you can get maybe with the shaitan is that when you say Allahu Akbar, the last thing that you remember is saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. What is in between? It went somewhere. Maybe while you're calculating your account, or maybe just, you know, you're waiting until the salah is over so you can go and play with your friends or watch this movie or do something else. Basically, you waste your salah and you lose that focus and khushu' in your salah. Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Al-khushu'u khushu'an. Khushu' al-iman wa khushu' al-nifaq. That khushu', it means that focus and that quietness and silence and stillness in salah to be humbly submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be khushu' al-iman, an act of iman or an act of nifaq. So for yourself, see for yourself, why are you doing it? Are you doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for something else? And what does that mean? When we say khushu' in salah, it doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter where you put your hands, here or there, as long as you follow an opinion of a scholar. But what really matters is what is there in your heart when you focus in your salah. And that's why most of our ulama, beloved ulama, they said, al-khushu' khushu' al-qalb. That focus is the focus of the heart, not the focus of the limbs or the hands. And one time, one of those pious predecessors, he saw a man in his salah who was basically playing with his hands. Maybe he was fixing his garment or fixing his thobe and so on. So he said, لَوْ خَشَعَ قَلْبُهُ لَخَشَعَ الْجَوَارِحُ. If his heart had that focus, means that khushu', his parts will have that khushu'. Which is true. It is true. Because if your heart is focusing on your salah, you will always be in that full consciousness. You won't lose that focus. So you know that if you'd like to scratch your head, no, you're still in salah. You put it back. You don't move. You don't try to look and so on. Why? Because you're focusing on your salah. But if your heart loses that focus, then everything is start losing the focus too. Your eyes, your hands, your feet, you start resting from one foot to another in the salah and bothering your neighbors with that. Why? Because you're getting tired. The Imam is reading a very long surah, like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, for example. And I'm sure many people, they always waste their time, you know, trying just to think on when the Imam is going to finish the salah. It's taking forever. Why? Because their heart is not focusing on their salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith, خَشَعَ لَكَ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي وَمُخِّي وَعَظْمِي. Mean, submitted to you, my Lord, in the dua in the salah. The Prophet ﷺ said that submitted to you, my Lord, سَمْعِي, my hearing, my sight, my flesh, my bone, everything submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salah. When this happened? When the qalb, the heart, shows that khushu' and that focus in the salah. Abu Darda, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the day will come. And I believe personally that it did happen. He said, the day will come when you enter the masjid and you don't see anybody who is khashu' in his salah. Nobody will have that khushu', that focus and concentration on salah. Can you tell when you enter a masjid if people are focusing on their salah or focusing somewhere something else? Alhamdulillah, we still have few people do that. Brothers and sisters. But in general, you can tell that people, they lost that quality of focus and khushu' in their salah. How would you know that you're in full khushu' or not? There are signs. There are some signs that we need to observe and learn to know if we are focusing in our salah or not. I'm not saying those signs to go and fake them. Just to let you know that how really people sometimes focus in their salah. First of all, when you say Allahu Akbar, what would be your intention? Allahu Akbar, let's finish, let's go, you know, with the salah and finish it? Or Allahu Akbar, you remember that you're going to be standing before the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty. People like Al-Husayn, Ali ibn Al-Husayn, when he used to stand in the minbar or in mihrab over here to lead the salah, he used to shake completely shiva, and they were asked, what's wrong with you? He would say, I'm standing before my Lord. Means I'm standing before my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means it's worth, of course, my body to shake. Why? Because you'll be standing before the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, you know that you're focusing. If you see that your heart is concentrating on your salah, nothing else but the salah. It's not about your car, it's not about your money, it's not about your business, it's not about if you're going to lose your shoes or not. It's not about if you're going to have, inshallah, quick, you know, path going out the masjid after Salatul Jum'ah or not. Focusing only on your salah. You have your heart focusing on that salah. Number three, you don't look around in salah. You know, people sometimes they go, Allahu Akbar, and their eyes, they should be down, the prostration position. But, mashallah, because the masjid here is very fancy, so they keep watching and track, you know, the designs of the rug maybe, or maybe of the marble over here and there, or maybe because alhamdulillah you have windows, so people they see the greenery outside, they think that they're in Al Jannah already. So they waste their time going looking through the window. Why? Because this is gonna help me, inshallah, focus in my salah. Because they're focusing in Al Jannah. I mean, if this is your intention, may Allah reward you for it. But you're doing the wrong thing. You should focus in your salah while still in the masjid. From signs of humility also and focusing on your salah is folding your hands. Folding your hands in salah, it is a sign of humility because you're humiliating yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give an example. Remember when we were young, and inshallah we're all young, but remember when we were young and kids, and one, you know, when you need something from your father, especially your mom, you don't do that with your father, but with your mom. You go and you chase your mom, especially the ladies and the sisters. You chase your mom around the house. And say, Mom, can I get this? Can you get this? Where do you put your hands? Like this? Mom, can I get this? Usually you grab your folded hand like this. Say, Mom, please, 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 can I get that? You fold your hand and you put them close to your neck. Showing that sign of humility. I have worked in humanitarian work in Europe. And I went and visited orphans. I visited widows. I visited needy people. And wallahi, I'm telling you, when they ask for something, they show that humility like this. They put their hands close to their necks. Why showing that humility? Now when you do that in salah, that was exactly what you're trying to say. I need you, my Lord. I'm showing my, you know, humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that position, when you put your hand, what would be the position of your neck? It would go down. Remember, when one time a speaker or a khatib or an imam, he spoke to you about something and he reminded me with al-jannah or an-nar and he reminded you with your sins. Remember your sins. Do you feel safe when you die? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive you or not? Do you have a guarantee from Allah to be forgiven? Remember those days. When I say those words, where do people usually look? They go turn down. They go down. And that's when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua. And he said, Subhana man dhallat lahu al-riqab. Praise be to Allah, to whom the necks were humiliated. Means what? Went down in submission. And that's what you do in your salah. You look down and you focus on that spot. For what? Because you're showing that you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You humiliating yourself for the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ruku'. When you make ruku' and you bow down in al-ruku'. Do you know, yes, subhanAllah, that this pattern of the salah was very hard and difficult for the Arabs to perform and do. And that's why many of them, they rejected that way of salah. They can go down in sujood, but they cannot go down in ruku'. Why? Because they feel that it's a very, very humiliating position to bow in ruku'. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this one of the signs that we submit to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala humbly in our ruku' when we bow down. The Arabs did not like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a sign of your submission to Him and to His Majesty. The same thing with the sujood. People are so proud of what? Being intellectuals. So smart. So clever. The sujood says what? Put this intellect, being smart, put this intellect down for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is, as the Arab says, maqamu izzin, actually maqamu dhullin, fihi maqamu rif'atin wa izz. It's a position of humiliation to gain what? Dignity. So humiliate yourself for the one who deserves it from you subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by that you gain that izzah, that dignity and integrity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you humiliate yourself for nobody except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. And that's what Allah says in the Quran, wasjud waqtarib. Usjud means prostrate to Him, waqtarib means approach Him by that. Means by making this sujood, you're coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give an example of khushu'. Alhamdulillah, we have mashallah very fancy and very mashallah, you know, strong structure over here in this masjid. Imagine back then they had, you know, some kind of masajid. It might be spacious, but they don't have the quality of our structures nowadays. At the time of Sulaiman ibn Yasar, who happened to be the servant of Ummul Mu'mineen Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha wa adaha, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, he became one of those pious predecessors. And one time he was praying Salatul Nafila in the masjid, in one corner of the masjid, and that masjid was in the market, the main market of the city. Half of the masjid from the back just collapsed, fell down. And of course that stirred dust. And Sulaiman ibn Yasar was praying in the masjid. So the people, they were worried about him. And everybody came from the market, they rushed to go and see what had happened. And they were looking for Sulaiman ibn Yasar. And they couldn't see him because of the dust. When the dust started settling down, they found him finishing his salah. So they asked him, they said, "Are you okay?" What did he say? He said, "Why? What had happened?" He said, "Subhanallah, half the masjid fell down." He said, "By Allah, I didn't even notice that." In salah, and he did not notice that. Some of those pious predecessors, when they used to go at home, their family, you know, their kids especially, they get quiet. They calm down for a while. And they say when he starts his salah, the chaos gets back again to home. Why? Because when he's in salah, he's completely focused. Means he loses that connection with this world. Why? Because he has another dimension of life that he's focusing on in his salah. How can we gain our salah? I know we have things that we need to acquire for our salah, and obstacles that we need to remove in order to gain this khushu', insha'Allah, and this focus in our salah. Therefore, insha'Allah, we're going to be, maybe, I will give you right now some of those means of focusing on your salah. If you would like to memorize those, if you are like Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, or like Imam Shafi'i, and so on, then, mashallah, depend on your memory. If not, then you need to use a pen and a paper. I'll give, insha'Allah, some of those means required to gain back your salah, your khushu' and your salah. First of all, we have group of things that you need to acquire and need to look for before you start your salah. If you would like to have this khushu' and your salah, that's what you need to do. Before you start your salah. Why am I saying before you start your salah? Because people, they think that khushu' is something to be attained in salah. I know, but if you're going to try to start, you know, to start focusing in your salah, will be too late for you, because you know until you start getting, you know, into the salah itself, the imam will be finishing his salah. So you have to prepare for it ahead of time. I would say number one. Meanwhile, I can give another example, inshallah, of some of those pious predecessors who were very focused in their salah. How many of you know Abdullah ibn Zubair? Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Let me see hands. Go ahead. If you know Abdullah ibn Zubair, raise your hands. Okay. Abdullah ibn Zubair was one of those young Sahaba. And in the history of Islam, he almost became the sixth or the seventh Khalifa, Abdullah ibn Zubair. He was so strong, and he was, mashallah, an energetic man. But just to show you how tough was he, Abdullah ibn Zubair, that his father, Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when he took him to Al-Qadisiyah, when he took him to Iraq to fight against the Persians, he was around 13, 14 years old, Abdullah ibn Zubair. And his father, he was standing in front of the Muslim army, encouraging the people, of course. And he was telling them, "Man yubayi'ni 'ala al-maut? Who can give me the pledge to fight against the Persians?" And of course, to give his pledge to die fi sabilillah azza wa jal. So a group of people, they went with him. He goes with them. They go and they fight there, and he comes back alone. Then he goes and he said again, "Man yubayi'ni? Who's going to give the pledge to die fi sabilillah?" Another group of people, they would come, he would go with them, and he would come back alone. The third time, then people after that, they said, "Subhanallah, whoever goes with this man, he will never come back." Then he starts calling again and again. Nobody came out. So he said, "Abdullah, come back, come here." So he called his son, who was about between 14, I believe, or 15 years old. He had him sit in front of him on the same horse. He said, "You lead the horse." And he grabbed two swords. That's Az-Zubair, his father. Just to show you how tough was his son. He took him and he was leading the horse for his father. And his father with two swords, he went through, he was actually plowing through the Persian army. And the people, when they saw him going through, they said, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Means that's it. And he's gone. And his son too. Then after a while, they saw that the army again is shaking from the other side. And he were coming back all the way until he went through the whole army, coming back with his son. And they both were alive. And subhanAllah, they did not die. Abdullah ibn Zubair died actually afterwards in Mecca. And his father, Az-Zubair ibn al-Awwam, unfortunately he died during the fitna between the Sahaba. But to come back again to the focus in Salah, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, he used to pray in front of the Kaaba, and he would be so focused in his ruku' and sujood. Imagine, ruku' and sujood, he said that the birds would think that he's a stone. So when they come and they stop on his back. And one time, Al-Hajjaj, who was surrounding Mecca, he was using the catapult to throw against Abdullah ibn Zubair and his army. They used to say that sometimes those stones and those huge rocks, they would pass by him, that it would shake his thawb of Abdullah ibn Zubair, and Abdullah ibn Zubair would not even shake, would not move. Why? Because it's completely focused in his salah. Coming back again, inshallah ta'ala, to means to required, inshallah, before your salah. What do you need to do before you start your salah? Number one, coming early. Come early to your salah, whether it's at home or in the masjid. If you would like to pray at home, do you just make wudu and come out and start your salah right away? Don't you need to go and make wudu and sit down for a while, making dhikr, preparation, adhan, maybe it's praying to sunnah, and then you start your actual salah? If you come to the masjid, then come early. If you know that salat al-maghrib is at 8:05, then you should come 10, 15 minutes before that time. I know most people, they would like to come before the imam says, "Allahu Akbar." And some they would like just to catch at least the last rak'ah, it doesn't matter. Why don't you come maybe 10 minutes earlier? So let's come early to the masjid. Give 10, 15 minutes before the actual time for the salah. Number two, since you're already in the masjid, repeat with the muaddin. When the muaddin says, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," you say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." That's dhikr. Then you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you start your salah. Number three, prepare for your salah ahead of time. Means, even after you finish with the muaddin, you know that you're going to be preparing salatul farida. So you sit there, focusing on what you're going to be reciting, maybe if it was duhur or asr, or at least prepare yourself for that salah spiritually and emotionally, not just physically. Number four, make your wudu. Make your wudu and make it thorough. Means a full wudu. Don't make a quick wudu just because, you know, you do that every day, every time. No, make a full and a thorough wudu, wudu in sabiq. And make, of course, this wudu enough time before your salah. Number five, select a place where there will be no distractions. No distractions. Means don't go and stand in front of the window and lead your salah because you're going to be watching your car, just in case kids were playing outside and so on. Or don't maybe just go in the middle of the masjid, in front of the door, where you know people, they're going to keep going, crossing in front of you. Go somewhere where you know people will not distract you from your salah. And if it was at home, don't go and pray your salah in front of the TV. I know many people, they go and they want to just, you know, gain two rabbits. Their salah and that match, or maybe that series, or movie whatsoever. So alhamdulillah, they're dedicated, they're devoted to their salah, but at the same time, they don't want to miss the opportunity of watching this series. It might not come until maybe next season. Don't do that. Go and take a place where you have no distractions for your salah. Number six, dress nicely for salah. Especially for salat al-fajr. Why? Because people usually, they come with their pajamas. They come with their pajamas because, you know, they want, after they finish salah, they get back again to sleep. So they don't have, you know, to take the hassle of changing and put it back again, their clothes and all the stuff and so on. So they come with their pajamas. Ya jama'ah, you're coming here to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing before Allah azza wa jal. So when you dress, you show that respect. And it does, wallah, it's not a matter of what you dress, specifically, but as long as it's nice. It's just that thinking of that you'll be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what really counts. That makes you more focused that you're doing it because you're going for salah, nothing but for the salah. Number seven, pray the nafil. Pray nafil. If you come into the masjid, before you sit down, why don't you pray two rak'ah? I know it's not wajib, but just subhanallah. Increase your ajr, your reward. Pray two rak'ah. And after the adhan, just pray another two rak'ah. Don't say that, I just prayed two rak'ah. Ya akhi, subhanAllah, increase. Increase your ibadah and pray two more rak'ah. Number eight, read some Qur'an. If you have some time, just read some Qur'an. You need it. And would be preferable if you read the Qur'an that you will recite in the salah. As a reminder for you. Why? Because when you start reciting those surahs or those actually ayat, at least you would see them. Because you've just read them from the same page. And if you're praying behind an imam for taraweeh, and you know that part of the Qur'an, just read it. And prepare yourself for that too. Number nine, make some dua and dhikr. After you're done, and before the iqamah, raise your hands, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you focus on your salah. Ask Allah azza wa jal to bless you with the khushu' in your salah. Because if you don't ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are you going to get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that if you ask for it. Number 10, don't talk too much before salah. I know people, this is the only time where they come and they see each other. So it's an opportunity. If they see the friend, they say, oh, how are you? Fine, alhamdulillah. And they sit down, maybe outside or over here in the musalla before the iqamah. So they waste their own time and the time of other people. When it was better for them to just make dhikr and make tasbih until the time of the iqamah. So don't waste your time talking to people. Wait until the salah is over. Then you can talk to them about whatever you want to talk. 11. Don't look around in the masjid. Just focus on this coming event, the salah. Means people, they come to the masjid over here, and they sit down in the middle and start looking up to the ceiling. Or looking around again. Going after those beautiful colors and designs and so on. I mean, it's only about 10 minutes before the salah. So just be focused. And focus at that upcoming event. That is your salah. Number 12. If you pray, the way we said, you know, don't go and pray behind, don't pray in a place that you'll have distractions. So I prefer that you go and pray in the front. Just go to the front. Will be nobody actually in front of you to distract you. Kids maybe, people that come in the masjid and just going to fill those front lines and so forth. So you get distracted by people passing beside you. So just go to the front and pray behind a sutra. 13. Now, the imam, he called for the iqamah. So you're standing for the salah. Before you start your salah, straighten your lines. Just straighten your lines. Why? Because this is part of your salah. And you will be focused more. Why? Because if you know that, alhamdulillah, we all straightening our lines, you won't bother yourself in the salah when you go to the ruku' to see if this person is going forward or backward. It will bother you a lot. If you say his feet going behind the line, it's just subhanallah. So you're going to be focused the rest of your salah on how to get this person coming forward a little bit. So straighten your salah before you start the salah. 14. Contemplation. Just do some contemplation about the greatness of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, who you will be standing before. If you know that you're going to be standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, then just try to remember that. And that's part of al-ihsan. That as if you're seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least that you are aware that He is watching you subhanahu wa ta'ala. 15. Remember some of the stories of those pious predecessors who were before us. When they used to come for their salah, how did they used to react? Like Al-Husayn, Ali ibn Husayn ibn Abi Talib, Ali ibn Abi Talib himself, and other of those righteous people. When they used to stand for the salah, how did they focus on their salah? Remember some of those stories before you start. So at least you can, inshallah, take an example from them. 16. Remember, always remember, the excellence and the virtue of khushu'. Just prior to saying, Allahu Akbar, before you raise your hand, remember the virtue and the excellence of khushu' and salah. Focusing on your salah. 17. If you are hungry, or you need to use the toilet, just go and do that first. That's the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know many, many people, they know that they need to use the toilet, but because they already have the wudu, let's finish the salah first and then I'll go to the toilet inshallah ta'ala. Although it should be the opposite, because you're going to be distracted in your salah. Oh, subhanAllah, the imam started with al-Baqarah, so I'm stuck with it. Then go first, go and visit the toilet, make a new wudu, and then come to your salah. That is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا صلاة بحضرتي طعام ولا وهو يدافعه الأخبثان. There should be no salah. There should be no salah when you feel the call of nature, means going to the toilet, or when you're hungry. You first go and eat, and then of course, come to the salah. And don't make this an excuse. Every time I say, well, I'm hungry, that's why I'm not going to go to the masjid, inshallah. I mean, go and plan for it. If you know that you're going to go for Salat al-Maghrib at 8 o'clock, don't prepare the food, you know, 15 minutes before the time of Maghrib. Say, well, alhamdulillah, I have an excuse. I'm hungry. The Shaykh said, you know, if you're hungry, don't come to the masjid. No, I say, plan your day. And make sure that you, ahead of time, you take your meal, inshallah, before you come to the masjid. And even when you eat, inshallah, I mean, don't have a very heavy meal. Otherwise, you're going to be burping in the salah until maybe the imam finishes his salah. Especially in Taraweeh. Because I know people, when it comes to iftar in Ramadan, yes, they were hungry all day, but subhanAllah, instead of breaking their fast with something that is simple, it's just like taking revenge. And then they eat different courses. And then after finishing desserts and so on, and we know that some people even, they violate some of the rules or the etiquette of visiting the masjid. So they would have garlic, they might have onion and all the stuff and so on, and they come to the masjid anyway. So when they burp, it goes around, actually. So make sure, yes, if you are hungry, to eat first, and if you're going to eat, don't eat too much. 18. If you feel sleepy, then don't start your salah. That's the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially Taraweeh or Qiyamul Layl. If you wanted to pray Qiyamul Layl, and you feel a kind of tired, and if you want to go and pray, start reciting the Qur'an and then mixing it with hadith, then no. Go and take another nap and wake up at a later time so you can perform your salah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Don't start your salah if you are so tired and exhausted. However, if you know that this is going to happen to you every night, then again, the solution for this, to plan for it. If you know that you're going to be praying Qiyamul Layl this night, don't go at 10, 11, 12, o'clock, you know, in the evening, or maybe at midnight, you go to bed, planning to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Unless you're Superman. That's another thing. But you need to know that if you're going to pray Qiyamul Layl, insha'Allah ta'ala, you need to prepare for that. 19. Race for the first line. The virtue of the Safful Awwal, the first line, is very, very important. Again, we have so many people, they do not really understand the virtue of being in the first line. Why? Because they think, you know, I don't deserve the Safful Awwal, they love the first line in Salah. So I leave it for those people of the masjid. You know, the masjid people, that's for them, inshallah. Why? You deserve better than that. So for the brothers, you should come and compete so you stand, inshallah ta'ala, in the first line. 20. Try to pray as close as possible to the imam. As close as possible, be behind the imam. Why? Because when you hear the speaker and you know that the imam is in front of you, you can hear his voice, that gives you also encouragement that to focus even more in your salah. And the last point on this part, remembering death. Remember, as Abu Ayyub al-Ansari رضي الله تعالى عنه said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قمت إلى صلاتك فصلي صلاة مودع. When you stand for your salah, count this as your final salah. Count this salah to be your final salah. How would it look like? Always remember that. Now that was our preparation for salah before we start. Okay, now how can we keep our khushu' while in salah? We have a few things to mention also. How to keep our khushu', our focus in salah. Number one. The first thing, contemplation. Again, contemplate over the word, Allahu Akbar. When you start your salah. I know because we do that on a regular basis, it becomes like a habit and tradition. We do not really understand the value of saying, Allahu Akbar. Remember that. It's Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest. Your Lord, the greatest. So remember and remember the meaning of those words before you say it. To know how important to be focused in your salah. Number two. Consider the status of ihsan in your salah. And what is the status of ihsan in your salah? As the Prophet ﷺ explained that to Jibreel when he was asked about al-ihsan, he said, أن تعبد الله كأنه يراك. أن تعبد الله كأنه يراك فلكم أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. Means worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you're seeing Him. And if you do not have that level, means that level of certainty, then at least worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing for sure that He sees you. Remember that He's watching you at least. If you don't watch Him, then He's watching you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, remember, fold your hands and look down. That's the sign of humiliation that we mentioned when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Subhana man dallat lahu al-riqab. Number four, observe the right etiquette of salah. Means learn the right etiquette of salah. How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam perform his salah? I know many people, they think that they're doing the right thing. Why? Because that's how they learn to pray maybe. And they never open a book to see if it was the right way or not. I mean, we should learn. What was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how he performed his salah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when you do it, and you know this is the example of Rasulullah, that helps you to focus on it too. Number five. Bring tranquility and peace to your salah. How? By slowing down the speed of your recitation. When we pray alone, usually we finish our two rak'ah in less than 2 minutes. If not even less than that. Why? Because nobody's following. But if you were put in a position of imam, those same two rak'ah, how do you pray those two rak'ahs? Imagine Salat al-Fajr. You pray at home. I'm sure many people when they pray Fajr, they pray, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ إِنَّا أَعْطَنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Why? It's easier, it's faster, it's more convenient. But when they put in the position of Imam, they look, what do I, subhanAllah, what long surah that I know? And maybe the longest surah that they know is قُلْهُ اللَّهُ وَحَدٍ أَعْطَنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ again. But still, they would recite that even slowly. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. And it takes some time. Then اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٍ. Why don't you do that on every salah that you pray? So slow down recitation so you can have that khushu' in your salah. Number 6, du'a al-istiftah. Before you start your recitation even, why don't you make that du'a? The du'a that you start, the dhikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about beginning your salah. And we have many, many words of remembrance and dhikr, the du'a supplications, before you start your recitation. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك تبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما بعدت بين المشرق والمغرب and so on. Many, many words of dhikr. If you don't know any of these, it's the time. Then inshallah, this evening before you go to bed, you look at least, you know, past the internet for dua before you start recitation in your salah and memorize one of those dua. Number 7. Again, contemplation. Which is the focus of salah. Over the ayat that you recite. Contemplate over the verses that you recite. We all know Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad. I believe so, inshallah. So when you recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad, then just try to focus. If you don't understand even the Arabic language, at least focus on the pronunciation. When you say Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid wa Lam Yulad, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. You see how it sounds beautiful when you recite slowly? So you can focus on that, just by reciting slowly. Number 8, beautify the Qur'an with your voice. And that's the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we beautify the Qur'an using our voices. Some people might say, well, I don't have that. I mean, first of all, I cannot help you with it. The only thing that I can tell you, try then to study tajweed. Tajweed, even if you don't have that beautiful voice, will help your recitation become so beautiful. Just you need to learn the tajweed. Number 9, remembering Allah. Remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided this salah between you and Him. In the long hadith of Surah Al-Fatiha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah azza wa jalla says in the hadith Qudusi, قسمت الصلاة بين عبدي بيني وبين عبدي نصفين. That I divided this salah between me and my servant. Means two parts. Part of it is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beginning of the surah. And part of it between the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and His servant, when you say إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. And then the rest of it, you're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance. So this is between you and your Lord. So remember, you're actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this salah by reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and you are calling upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 10, focus on the position, the spot of your prostration in the salah. Don't look around, just look at one place. Look down and try to focus on that spot. Number 11, adhkar of the salah. I know many people in their sujood, they only know how to say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And when they're done with those three, you know, dhikr, words of dhikr, they stop. Waiting for the imam to say Allahu Akbar. But for their surprise, he's not saying it. I mean, why is it taking him so long? They don't know that there are many words of dhikr and remembrance that you can say in sujood and even in ruku'. Why don't we then go and learn one or two or three of those words of dhikr? So that sometimes when you start your sujood, you feel that, oh subhanAllah, he's going too fast. Why? Because you're making a long, long dua. Maybe the imam, he doesn't know it. So make a word of dhikr that is justified to say in the sujood or in the ruku'. At least ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs in this dunya and also in the akhirah. Number 12. Never look up when you come back from your ruku'. You know, some people when they go back from the ruku' saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, they say رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. They go look up. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from doing so. He said, don't do that. Just keep looking down. Why? Because even when you go up, you know, if you were standing in front of somebody who's to you very important, and you're asking for something from them, and then the person says, go ahead, stand up. Where do you look? Do you dare focus on their face? Or go up? You keep looking down. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to say, stand up, you still will be looking down, humiliating to yourself, to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 13, don't get distracted by the designs of the prayer rug or the carpet and so on. Especially in Salat al-Taraweeh, I'm sure that many people, you know, when the Imam starts reciting a long surah, they get distracted by those designs. So they follow the track. And they end up looking, you know, at the end of the line. Why? Because they're not focused on their salah. Or maybe when they're praying, mashallah, they have a thawb that had a lot of designs also, they get distracted. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he prayed with a thawb that has designs, and after his salah, he immediately took it off. He said, take this off. I don't want this anymore. Why? Because it was distraction for me in my salah. So try to focus on your salah by not having anything underneath, especially in the place of your salah. And number 14, with the last one inshallah in this part, is the dua. Again, I would like to focus on this issue. The dua, supplication. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. That the closest actually that the servant is to his Lord will be in his sujood. You'll be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your prostration. If this is the case, what should you do then? أَكْثِرُ مِنَ الدُّعَى. Means increase your dua, your request, and question, and asking, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Supplication and invocations should be done in your sujood. Now we're trying to focus on our salah. We finished our salah. Imam said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Are we done? Not yet. What should you do after you're done from your salah? Number one, do not move right away from your position. Don't move right away from your position. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that al-malaika tusalli ala ahadikum ma dama fi musalla. Al-malaika tusalli ala ahadikum means what? Seeking forgiveness, making dua for you while you're still in your position, that same spot where you finish your salah. Hatta yaqum aw yuhdith. Until you stand up means you move from your spot or you break your wudu. So even after finishing salah, you still be in salah. Even if you don't make dua, someone else is making dua for you. The malaika will be doing the dua for you. I know many people after the salah is over, they immediately walk out. Or they go maybe to relax, you know, on the walls. Or maybe just step forward and so forth. Stay. Just stay there until it's over. Until the salah is over means until you finish your dua and your dhikr. Which is number two. Do your tasbih. Do your tasbih. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he was grabbing the hand of Mu'adh. And he said, Ya Mu'adh, inni yuhibbuka fillah. I love you. I love you fillah. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he gave him a beautiful instruction. Never let go. That means do not miss saying after your salah, after your obligatory salah, Subhanallah, 33, Alhamdulillah, 33, Allahu Akbar, 33, which means saying Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allah, Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and the same thing for Allahu Akbar. Do that after every salah. Wait until you're done. Number three, do dhikr and dua. If you have something that you forgot about in your salah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you move from that spot. Then, just before you move, review your salah. How much did you focus on that salah? Evaluation, self-evaluation. 100%, 90%, 50%, how much you need to make up for it. And then, the last point, number five, to pray nafil. To pray salatul nafil as a makeup for that salah. If you miss something, at least, inshallah, you would focus on that nafil so that you make up for the things that you have missed in your actual salah. Now, some people might say, okay, ya Shaykh, Alhamdulillah, that might be very beneficial to us. But you know, even if I follow this technique, I don't feel comfortable focusing on my salah. So am I allowed to close my eyes? You know, some people, they would like to close their eyes while they're in the salah, until salah is over. I would say, this is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of Rasulullah was that you open your eyes and focus on your prostration spot. But if you think that there would be no way for you to focus on your salah unless you close your eyes, then do it. But I'm saying it's not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people might say, even though I still have that waswasa, means the moment I say Allahu Akbar, immediately the shaitan will come and would say, where did you leave your keys? So you've got to look in your pockets. Or is the cell phone on or off? And it starts distracting you. So what shall I do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked this question by Abu al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَلِكَ شَيْطَانٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ خِنْزَبْ. This is a shaytan, whose name is Khinzab. فَإِذَا أَحْسَسْتَهُ فَتَعَوَّدْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْهُ وَتْفُلْ عَنْ يَسَارِكَ ثَلَاثًا. So if you feel that the shaytan is keep distracting you in your salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, turn to the left and blow three times. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This sahabi Abu al-As, he said, I did that, and I felt that it just went away. Now, does that excessiveness of waswasa break your salah? What if somebody says, well, I tried it, but it still keep going on. What shall I do? Does that nullify the salah? Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَأْتِي أَحَدَكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَيَقُولُ اذْكُرْ كَذَا اذْكُرْ كَذَا لِمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَذْكُرُ حَتَّى يَضَلَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَدْرِي كَمْ صَلَّى. The shaytan will come to you and he will say, the shaytan, this khinzab, will tell you, remember this and remember that, for things that you did not remember before. And then he said, حَتَّى يَضَلَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَدْرِي كَمْ صَلَّى, until the person, he just keeps, you know, distracted, confused about how many rak'ah did he pray. So that means that the shaytan will keep distracting you until you lose focus on your salah. There is no evidence, the ulama, they say, of course, definitely the reward will not be counted maybe for the salah. But the scholars, they disagreed on the need to make up for the salah. So there is no full answer for this, saying, yeah, you need to make up for the salah that you completed, were distracted in that salah or not. It's just that you need to at least to pray nafil salah and be more focused, inshaAllah ta'ala. What about, some people might say, about Umar bin Khattab? You know Umar bin Khattab, he used, in salah, he used to recruit the armies. In his salah, he used to distribute the armies, and after he's done, he would go and command and order Khalid to be moved here, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas to go there, and so on. My answer to this, I would say, can you be like Umar bin Khattab? If you can be like Umar bin Khattab, I'll justify that for you. But just be like Umar bin Khattab, radiyallahu ta'ala an, wa arda. My final advice, inshaAllah, is to say that if you chase two rabbits, what do you think will happen? If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. And if you chase two rabbits in your salah, both will escape. Your salah and the thing that you're thinking of. So when it's the time for salah, just be focused on your salah. When you're done, think about the other thing, inshaAllah ta'ala. Always prepare for your salah. Always prepare for your salah. And never let the shaitan distract you from the salah. And never let this become a habit. Your salah is not a habit. It's an act of worship. And always prepare for your salah. And inshallah, as a last and final advice, I would say, read a book that explains to you how to fulfill the obligations of your salah, the virtues of your salah. Learn that and teach others. Because if you don't teach others, sooner or later, you're going to forget this knowledge. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And get ready, inshallah ta'ala, after the adhan, to pray the best salah, maybe hopefully, that you have done in your life. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.